And welcome to another episode of the Game Throwers podcast. This is game week 28 that we're going to run through before going through predictions of game week 29. We've got two guests on the show today, accompanying myself, and they are Dan and James. Do you guys want to say anything?
Thank you for having me. Especially happy.
Especially happy. Okay, we'll get into why James is happy in a short while. Let's take a look at the five games that took place through game week 28, starting with the first game, which was Nicholas's Weidenbauer team versus Sham's Egg Fried Reus. Sham back to winning ways with a very high scoring 58 points over Nicholas's 38. I'll probably kick off. I'd say very well done to Sham. His team seemed to be back on winning ways after a round of difficulty, shall we put it, for his team. The Liverpool 5-0 win over Watford impacted his team very well. I would say that Van Dijk getting the two goals, Alisson was the game changer for him. Aubameyang back after his blip of sickness, getting on the score sheet, and Young also as well. Nicholas falling down in the league to a position below me, which he said would pain him very much, has happened. He's moved down to seventh place. The win has taken Sham up to first place once again. Very well done to Sham, and it's good to see some movement in the table. How did you see the game, James?
Sham, kind of echoing your points, I thought Sham did really well. He's got such a strong team. I mean, three midfielders of Pogba, Hazard and Salah. It's pretty impressive. I'm really upset that I had to let Van Dijk go. He's done really well. Even on the bench, he's really strong bench. Ward-Prowse, you've also got Rudiger, 6 points. He's just got a really strong team at the moment, and well, he always has, to be fair. And then if you take Nick, it's a bad run of form. Happy to be playing him next. But yeah, there you go.
Dan?
Yeah, I think almost a return to form for Nick. I think that Madison-Vardy combination paid off, and it hasn't paid off for some time. It will be interesting to see with Brendan Rodgers coming in for Leicester whether that reignites them. And Leicester have actually got some reasonable fixtures coming up. But at the same time, he's been carrying Martial and Wilson for a while. Sturridge, Walker, you know, they're not playing on a regular basis. But for Sham, yeah, it's kind of steadied the ship a little bit. He'll be happy to be back top of the league. And as James said, there's some good players on the bench there as well. And also for Sham, it was those Wednesday night fixtures that took him from what was looking pretty nervy into a comfortable result in the end.
Yeah, I'm unsure why Nick's carrying players such as Sturridge, and you know, it's a strange one. And then the Trippier own goal didn't really help him out. Maybe he needs some more guidance from me here. Who knows? But I don't know. What does he do to change things? He's fallen. I don't know if he's ever been lower than seventh, but seventh isn't a place where I've seen his team much this season. Is there anything that he can do to change it around?
Well, he has freshened it up. There's a few new faces in that team. So he has been rolling the dice, and you know, Matip, Otamendi did pay off. But you know, as you say, Sturridge was a gamble given how rarely he's played in the league this year. I think it's a question of just keep rolling the dice. He's stuck with the likes of Wilson and Martial through their injuries this long. You just know that as soon as he gives them up, they'll suddenly have a return to form, and Ed, Greg, James will pick them up straight away off the farm.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on to the next game, which was Inesh's Great Balls of Fire versus James. Hongqin FC. Do you want to lead us on this one, James?
Just really chuffed with some of my trades that I put in recently. I'm not really sure what Abu was thinking with my swaps for Alexander-Arnold, Lukaku, Kepa, who doesn't look like he's going to be playing many more games this season. Yeah, I'm chuffed with Lukaku coming into form. And yeah, particularly Alexander-Arnold is decent. Binesh is a very good competitor, so I was just pleased to get the win against him, really. I've got someone at my door.
Dan, do you want to take over?
Well, I think 30 of the 49 points coming from two players shouldn't disguise the fact that there's still some pretty ropey players in James's team. But I guess I think what this probably balances out is the number of games where he's had good points and lost. So that turnaround from Alexander-Arnold and Lukaku, when Alexander-Arnold was coming back, or still feeling his way back from injury, Lukaku had been just about getting back onto the pitch, but not really threatening. It's just good timing. But the other side of the coin to the Nick conversation, where picking up the players at the right time could make such a big difference.
Yeah, I agree with... and I would like to say well done to James, because, like you say, he has been scoring very well and losing out quite a few times. And I definitely went through that pain earlier on in the season. But to see two players picking up the brunt of his 49 points, it's it's very well done with the trade for Lukaku, showing faith in Lukaku. And B, I'd say Alexander-Arnold, to get three assists from the defence is always going to score you well. And well done for holding on to that player there. Binesh to lose, it's good for me, because I really need to see Binesh start dropping some points. But it's also a great win for James, because Binesh, as we all know, has been climbing up the league, picking up a lot of points. He's got Aguero in his team. He's got Liverpool players in his team. But to beat Binesh is always a big achievement. So well done to James.
And I think for Binesh, it was him who offered up Trent for Robertson. And then I heard on the pod last week, and I saw in the media comments that Binesh keeps calling him Alex Trent. And if you're a young, talented, ambitious player and your manager keeps getting your name wrong, you're not going to want to perform for him. So I assume James actually knows the names of his players and is reaping the rewards.
Fan, which helps. But I kind of agree with your points there. I do need to trade out some of my players, like Patterson. I'm really willing to let him go. Bamba, I'm getting rid of him. Ings, I'm getting rid of him because he's injured. Getting some waivers in. But I'm pretty much stuck in ninth at the moment, so I need to try and get out of that. I've got a bit of a gap between me and Greg now, which is good.
And you've got momentum. So was that three wins in a row?
Sorry, you've gone really faint, James.
So I am pretty chuffed with that at the moment. So.
I think it was the giddiness of actually winning some games.
So
And for Binesh's side as well, I mean, we talk about Nick not moving his players on often enough. And although Binesh has made some good trades, he's still got Ali, who's perpetually injured, Stonesy, as Binesh affectionately calls him, injured and hasn't been playing that often. Wanban on the bench and injured. And Mustafi not playing. Rose, who's been in and out of the team. Yeah, it's not... If you were to put Binesh and Nick's team side by side, there's not a whole lot of difference between them. So I think we could be on for another weak streak from Binesh.
I would definitely welcome that one. Are you just saying that to wind Binesh up? Because I see it quite slightly different. I think that Binish's team has a lot more strength and depth compared to Nicholas's. Just the defence, if Rose can get a game, that's a very strong defence there. Iwobi's coming into form at Arsenal. Silva and Gundogan are always going to pick up points. And Aguero has the ability to score 20 points a game. And we all know what Jimenez has been doing this season. I see Vinicius' team as a very strong contender for the title, if not more. Possibly winning the Top Guns Cup, which he's somehow still involved in, yeah.
If you can't win your own cup, what's the point in organising it?
Need to arrange a cup of my own then. Okay, moving on to the third game was my team versus Ed. So going into the game, I knew that Ed was trying to pick up trades and he had a four-game win streak. I said on the podcast last week that I predicted him to win. Maybe that was just mind games, who knows. But it was a crushing defeat that Ed had to take. We scored our club record points of 64 points. I think that we've got the best out of Mane this season since the trade with Binesh, where he picked up two goals. And I just think all round it was a very strong performance. We had three players that debuted. We had Bernardo Silva that came in from Mihir. We also had Calvert-Lewin, who picked up from the farm, and Alonso, who also came in from Mihir, all scoring very well. Wolves conceding the goal cost Ed some credibility. He had a few points where he thought that Wolves could have picked up a clean sheet, but 64-21 was quite a humiliating defeat for Ed to take.
I'm back on now, sorry. I think you've kind of outdone yourself there with getting Alonso in. And got some very, very big points. But it's just really not performing well at the moment. He's gone backwards a little bit, so.
Yeah, I think you've got a few new players who I can understand why other managers have given up on them. But the timing has worked nicely for you. Again, strong lineup, decent fixtures. I think, if anything, you'll probably be a little disappointed that Sterling didn't start and Lacazette didn't start, but they still got 6 points between them coming off the bench and playing about 50 minutes between them. So, yeah, comfortable win. And for Ed, kind of back to where he normally is. I think he's had a decent run, some decent scores recently. Against the likes of Sham and Nick, but his squad has always got this in them. If Watford don't do well, and if Murray doesn't score, and United don't keep a clean sheet, then this is the kind of standard score that he'll pick up.
Good. Looking at it. But yeah, he does seem to pick up the wins, well, recently, but it's just, it doesn't, on appearance, it doesn't look like a strong squad at all.
Yeah, I'm just happy to be keeping pace and keeping up with the top bunch. Earlier on in the season, there seemed to be like a top two, top three, and then a middle pack, and then a bottom pack. I advanced myself into the middle pack, and I feel like the points difference between the top and the middle pack has kind of disappeared. So there is just like two-thirds, I would say, at the moment. And it's quite a difference between first and sixth place where I am at the moment. But, you know, anything could happen in these last 10 games.
Well, I think 10 points between first and seventh at this stage of the season shows it's pretty competitive.
Yeah.
I know it was only a 6-team league last year, but I'm pretty sure the gaps were much larger at this time of the season than they are this year.
Well,
anyone in the top five can win, I think. I think you're just too many points off, John. But you will have a strong end to the season, I'm expecting.
Saying that, what are your aspirations? What are your targets for the season, guys?
My aspirations are to finish. I still think seventh is doable. If I can finish seventh, I'll be happy. Obviously, I don't want to finish bottom. That is the goal of it all. And I do think I've got a little bit of distance from Greg now, so that's good.
Seventh place. Well, okay. Dan, just same question to you, Dan. What's your expectations? Where do you think you'll finish at this stage of the season?
Top five. I'm happy with top five.
Okay.
I came into the season thinking, as long as I don't finish bottom, I'm happy. And we'll come on to my game against Greg next, but I've tried a few different experiments this year, involving picking up players off the farm, demolishing teams every so often and starting again. But I think I've settled onto a nice pattern here, which is pick an entire team. I don't have to worry about trades. I don't have to worry about being called a backstabber or a snake or worry about anyone else anymore. And my games are decided in 90 minutes on over one day. So it's kind of a zen-like piece of just what will be, will be.
So this is something you plan to continue doing?
Yep. Newcastle don't have a... Well, why not?
Okay.
Interesting.
Rafa has tightened them up. I think the switch of formation to kind of a 3-4-3, 5-3-2, depending on where you put Almiron, putting Richie as a left wing back has really made them steady. So, yeah, if they keep a clean sheet, you're talking 30 odd points straight away, which, even if we look at this round, would have been enough to beat a couple of the teams. Win 2-0 as they've done the last two games and you get 55, 56 points.
List, to be fair. You've got two tough games against Arsenal and Liverpool, but apart from that...
Exactly, and I can write those off. I shouldn't finish bottom of this round, so I've got the next couple of games to just relax, chill out, see how it pans out. If it needs a change of approach, so be it. But third in the league, I can't finish bottom, or I shouldn't finish bottom. 30 points to play for, so yeah. Season over, job done.
Okay, so that was the game between myself and Ed. I moved up to sixth place. Ed remained in eighth. The next game was Greg versus Dan, a game where on the last week podcast, we all kind of said it would come down to who would be fielded in Dan's team that would decide this one. But a win for Dan, as he's just explained, has taken him up to third place. Three points off the top place is very, very well done. And Greg remains in bottom place. Is there any more that you want to talk about this current game, Dan? How it went for you?
Only that I was a little disappointed that I didn't. Manquillo coming in for Yedlin was a bit of a left field switch from Rafa. Clearly, I'm not in complete cahoots with my assistant manager. But it made sense with playing Burnley, and Burnley just going to hit the ball long. Manquillo's better suited to that than Yedlin. Manquillo got an assist and some bonus points as well, so that's a little disappointing. Should have hit 60, but the final point I make, so I remember Binesh on the pod saying he wouldn't want any of the Newcastle players. I suggest it's time to rethink that strategy, judging by the last couple of weeks.
I wanted Shaw and Dubravka and Almiron. I was pretty gutted to let them go. And Richie's a very good player as well. So it's a pretty good team. With Gregor, though, he's actually got a very decent team looking at it. Like Coleman, Maguire, De Bruyne, Mahrez, they're all good players, and Arnautovic is going to come back soon. He always did well for me, so he might have a chance of getting off the bottom. You never know.
Yeah, last week we asked the question to Binesh about the trade between you and him, and he was very happy with the way it came about and what he got out of the deal. What's your side of the deal, and do you feel that you got the better out of the deal, James?
You have to remind me the exact. I've done a lot of deals recently, but so I think I let go of Robertson ultimately and King. And I'm pretty sure I got Alexander-Arnold and was it Lukaku? That was a boot.
The trade that you
Adini.
The trade that you did with Binesh when it was down to the Newcastle players that you were going to get in, and then there was something about you him taking on your forfeit for finishing bottom.
Of course, yeah, he's doing my forfeit, so
Yeah, we just want to hear your side of the story.
He confirmed that he would do the forfeit that I have coming to me. I haven't heard anything more from Binesh on that. He also did promise me that he would not include Aguero in the game that we had coming up against each other. Okay. Kind of backed out of that, but still didn't win. So there you go.
I noticed that he didn't mention the forfeit aspect of the trade in the podcast. So I think John's given you a perfect opportunity to just ratify that and make clear.
So I've got WhatsApp conversations confirming that he would be taking the forfeit. So I'm afraid it's all in black and white, and he is doing it.
I hope he'll keep to his word. We don't like court cases. So
I will forward a message right now from a group. Dan was present, called Newcastle Players. And right now to the group. In the game froze.
Is this a silo group that was made to discuss this group?
Yes, it was. Well, partly. Okay. To confirm that I wouldn't have any Newcastle players. So that's your evidence.
Okay, well, if you do need any legal counsel, just let me know. So let's move on to the last game, which was a very close game between Abu and Mihir. It finished up with Abu losing with 43 points and Mihir's newly formed side picking up 47. Abu, he has been hit and miss over the past few weeks. He was on form last week. And to some degree, he played pretty well this week, scoring 43 points. As we said last week, Mkhitaryan's coming back into the Arsenal team. Just at the same time that Abu's picked him up was very great fortune. This week, he picked up a goal and two assists, scoring him 16 points, which took him very close to winning it. Aspilicueta picking up 12 points with a clean sheet and an assist. But it just wasn't enough to take down Mihir. I know Mihir has been working on his team. He's trying to refresh things and revamp his team. He's doing really well, actually. He's taking his team up to fifth place. And he is 6 points away from the top. So, as James would put it, he's still in contention to win this league. He's got a very new team. It's full of a mixture of, I wouldn't say top 10, top 20 players. But Sigurdsson's doing really well. The Wolves defenders, on a good day, they usually pick up points. Lindelof this week picked up 7 points by getting an assist in that 3-1 win over Crystal Palace. And everybody's favourite Pickford had a clean sheet, achieving him 6 points. So where now that Abu has moved off of top place down to second place, do we see Abu with much of a chance, or is his team going to keep falling?
I think good chance. I mean, he's got some good players. Sané usually scores more than 1 point. I think it was a mistake letting rid of Lukaku. Firmino, I'm not even sure when he's coming back. He's still 50% chance of playing for the next game. Kane should usually get far more points. I still think he's definitely in contention. But yeah, Mahir did really well. Sigurdsson's a very good player, and Jota usually gets a couple more points. So yeah, pretty even game really.
I think this was a case of two strong squads not really having the best of fixtures or best of results. So I think if you look at Mahir's, those three Wolves players in that surprising defeat, you'd normally expect to pick up more points than that. Similarly for Abu, I think with Spurs away at Chelsea, there's a few players there who haven't performed as well as he would normally expect them to. So I think that they'll both be looking upwards and pushing forwards going forward. So I think it's fair. I'd expect both to finish top four.
Top four.
And just imagine how Mahir would be doing if he'd been able to pick up another striker off the last ceremony. So
yeah, I'm just looking at this now. So how would you see the top four finishing up? Maybe not in order, just teams that would be in the top four.
Purely because I know Banesh will get very annoyed by this because he can't seem to distinguish between reality and predictions. And he gets very upset when anyone predicts him to lose. I will say that Banesh will miss out. And actually, I think Banesh will finish seventh.
Ouch. Oh. Okay.
Four will be Sham, Abu, Dan, and yourself, John. Become Mahir and Banesh. So, there you go.
Okay. Dan, so how long do you plan to keep this Newcastle team? Because that could change things quite a lot.
I don't want to give away all of my secrets. I don't see anyone else giving away their tactics on the pods or in the media comments.
Good answer.
The reality is until I get bored, but let's pretend there's some master plan here.
Okay, so that wraps up the games of game week 28. We saw a lot of movement in the league. As I said, Sham reclaiming top space. Abu moving down to second, Dan climbing to third place, overtaking Binesh, who moved down. The win over Ed took me to sixth, and Nicholas moved down two places, being overtaken to seventh place. Let's now move into game week 29. Put down some predictions to these matches that will take place this coming week. On Saturday. So the first game is Sham versus Abu. How do you see that one going, Dan?
It's a tough one because the Spurs Arsenal derby is going to hit them both with Aubameyang, Kane, Eriksen across the two teams. City playing away at Bournemouth could help Abu if Sané plays, but that's another if. United at home to Southampton is for me, just puts Sham in the driving seat for that game. If Rashford and Pogba are fit and playing, I think that should be enough for him to come through.
You never know, though. Sanchez could return to form, get some goals if he plays. Like, that could help. That could help him. But, I personally think that Sham will win it with Pogba and Salah getting some goals.
Yeah, I think that's all of us going in favour of Sham. I think that he's got his team back together. And I think that Abu's been holding on to a team that has been hit and miss for a long time, and he's just with that trade last week making his team slightly weaker. So I don't really see him being able to compete with Sham this week. So I will also go with Sham on this one. So the next game is Mihir versus Greg. We start with James. How do you think that one's going to go?
Oh, I think it's going to go with Mihir again. He's on really good form at the moment. I'm hoping that Everton won't do too well against Liverpool, being a Liverpool fan. But you never know, Sigurdsson could get a couple goals. Also, Zaha is... They're playing away at Burnley. So Crystal Palace should do fairly well. Yeah, I'm going with Mihir.
Dan?
Yeah, agree with that. And with Wolves at home to Cardiff, if Mihir is sticking with Bennett and Cody at the back, I think that could be a couple of clean sheets straight away. So you look at Gregor's team that's spread across so many different players. You're bound to need some contradictory results. So, definitely Mihir, I think.
Yeah, again, that's all three of us going in favour of the same team. I'm also going to go with Mihir. I think that the decider this week will probably be the Wolves element. Like you say, they're kind of favoured with the fixture that they've got this week. It will be interesting to see. I actually think that it'll be Mihir's defence that will win it for him. So that's a prediction that I'm going to go out there with. I think it'll be his defence that win it for Mihir this week. The third game is Dan's As Fallen Reserves versus my John Snow FC. Dan, how do you see that one going?
I think it largely depends on which West Ham turn up. They were a little unfortunate. Well, not unfortunate, but they held their own against City for long periods of the game and the penalty looked a bit suspicious. They've won at home recently, I think, against Fulham. They drew at home against Liverpool. But they are a massively inconsistent outfit. Fixtures-wise for you, if Sterling is let loose on that Bournemouth defence, if Lacazette starts, yeah, I think the fixtures favour you, mainly because you've got more than one fixture to worry about. I think Newcastle will get a 1-1 draw at West Ham and I'll get about 30 points. So that's what you'll need to beat.
Yeah, I personally think that Chelsea will do well against Fulham away, seeing as they've just sacked Ranieri. And I think Matt Money usually gets a couple goals against Everton from memory. But yeah, I'm backing John for this game. I just don't think Newcastle will get back-to-back victories.
They've already got back-to-back victories. What do you mean again, back-to-back?
Yeah.
I agree with you guys. I think that the fixtures are more in my favour. Just looking through my team and each player, for example, Man City playing Bournemouth, I think that's going to go really well for me. Chelsea versus Fulham will go really well for me. And I don't see Newcastle getting through West Ham away with a clean sheet, and a clean sheet could make the difference as it did in the previous game on top of the goals. So I just think that would let your team down, so I'm going to go with myself on that one. The next game is Ed versus Binesh. Dan?
I'm torn here because, like I said earlier, I know Binesh gets very upset about predictions. But at the same time, I think Jesus is injured, so Aguero will have to play. And Aguero, David Silva away at Bournemouth, I think is likely to result in a lot of points. So I think that's enough. As before, the Wolves v Cardiff game, Jimenez had an off day last week. He doesn't have that many off days. So I'll go for a Binesh win.
And James?
I will go for a Benesh win as well. I just don't think Ed's team is that strong, even though it's higher in the league than I am. And I'm backing Benesh with Robertson to get a couple of assists, hopefully, and Jimenez to get a couple goals against Cardiff.
Okay, so we've been in agreement on all games so far, and this one's not going to be any different. I'm also going to go with Benesh. I don't think Ed has enough to mount a challenge for a team like Benesh. So I'm going to go with Benesh. Although I'd like to see Ed win, I'm going to go with Benesh. So 3 in favour of Benesh. And the final game of Game Week 29 is James, your Honkeen FC versus Nicholas's Weidenbau team. How do you see that one going, James?
I'm hopeful because I think Lukaku is just about coming into some form. We've got a home game against Southampton, so I think he'll do well. I've got a couple trades that I'm trying to get through. Alexander-Arnold, I think he'll hopefully have a good game against Everton. Leicester, Chilwell, hopefully start to improve a little bit. I'm going to get rid of Patterson. Willian, I want to see him play against Fulham, get an assist at least. I don't know. Who else is thingy playing? So Fraser, I don't think we'll get many points against Man City for next team. Spurs have got a tough game, so I don't think Trippier and Son will do particularly well. Vardy, yeah, I'm not sure. Hopefully Leicester won't do too well. So yeah, I'm backing myself.
And Dan?
I think James has got the momentum. I think there's nothing that really stands out about the fixtures swinging Nick's way this week. I mean, there's a chance Walker and Otamendi could both start for City and get a clean sheet and give him a solid foundation, but I'm going to go with James as well.
Oh, waivers have just come through.
Breaking news.
I've got Brooks and Ozil and Mooney.
Okay.
Interesting.
And now you picked up Mendy again.
Okay. Interesting. That is breaking news. I'm quite happy with that. That's good.
I think this is the first sort of podcast having waivers come through during the podcast. But I'll wrap things up and say yes. That's the first time ever we've all been in agreement. And I'm also going to go with James to win this one against Nicholas. I think that you'll just have more strength. Seems like you've got the waivers that you wanted. I see Patterson's out. I think this one with Ings is gone.
I've got Mooney in. So, bit of a rogue choice, but you never know. Huddersfield have got some fairly easy games coming up. Well, relatively. So, we'll see. And then Brooks should do all right. But Man City is a tough game. I'm happy.
Okay, so just to clarify, was that did you go in favour of James on that one, Dan? Or
yeah.
Okay, so that's all in favour of James. Okay, so that wraps up our predictions for game week 29. Just to run through the Top Guns Cup really briefly, I think that Benesh would do a better job of this, but there are 6 teams remaining. We're halfway through the hop. In the danger zone, we've got Great Balls of Fire and Flying Pigs. There was I'm not too sure what happened with the distribution of cards, but somehow Egg Fried Reuse picked up 2 cards and Flying Pigs picked up 2 cards. It looks as though they are tactically holding on to them for this game. Do you know how the cards were distributed, Dan? Can you fill us in on anything there?
Yeah, it was a random number generator that Abu had. And when Bineshwarai said stop, the number that came up on the random number generator, we tied back to a player's draft position, and the owner of that player got the card.
Okay.
So it was random. I'm very disappointed. I feel very exposed with the nuke. But we'll see.
I can see why you would be, but what happened last week with you being hit by the nuke? If you scored...
Who did that? I can't remember. Someone viciously attacked me.
Maybe you need to check with Binesh. He's the one who holds all of the cards and he knows everything, what's going on in this league. For Ed to overtake you, he would need quite a sizable win. Possibly Binesh could overtake you this week if you were hit by the nuke. So, James, any thoughts on this? Do you still follow the Top Guns Cup?
No, I've never really followed it, to be honest. I've never been a contender, so I'm just not interested, I'm afraid.
Focusing on the league, making yeah. sure you don't get dragged down.
Yeah, exactly. That's my priority.
Who has the nuke then? Is it Sham or is it Ed?
It's Sham. That's why I'm worried.
Okay.
If it was Ed, I fully would expect him to detonate on his own team.
Or probably not even use it.
Yeah, I had proposed that if someone has a card and doesn't use it, it's used against them. But I don't think it got carried. Or I don't think it got ratified by everyone.
Okay. Any more on the Top Guns Cup?
No. It's with the games coming thick and fast. It's an exciting time to still be in the Top Gun Cup. That should keep Binesh happy at least.
Okay, so that wraps things up. There's 10 games to go. Sham is still leading the pack, and Greg is still holding us all up. So until next week, I think that's it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.